Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Hey, well, for the commercial spots, didn't want to go there, so we're just going to come right back here with Let's Talk Hookup, having a great time with Rosie and Jeff in here. And while we're waiting to get the spots up and fired again, we got another great bud on the line. Scott Sherman actually popped off the other line, so we'll have him come back up in here. But it does bring up a great thing, and you know, one of the things that we were talking about was spots from singles. And you know, Rosie, the one thing I wanted to comment about that on a single spot is you've been doing it for 10 years now and know exactly what it takes to have what it takes to make that person's group work. And yeah. And we just hear about it all the time. So whether it be a particular charter where, you know, these guys are real easygoing, or hey, these guys really like to focus on calico bass, like you can hold Kenny's hand and
absolutely
just weave through the process of what's the right.
Absolutely. So Kenny, please call me 619-772-7570, maybe later today, tomorrow you're probably watching Super Bowl,
right?
But give me a buzz, because like Ricky said, it's like we guide you through, figure out what your needs are, and then we match them up, pair them up with whatever group or charter that we can put you on. Guarantee you will not be disappointed. You know, the fishing style, there's enough people on the trip that you're going to match up with someone else's fishing style. And you know, it's like my husband, and many, many moons ago, he went on a father-son trip and found another father-son that they had the same fishing style. And to this day, Randy's one of our best friends. So they still fish together.
How
they
cool
go
is
everywhere
that?
Together. We go camping together.
15 years later, we're best friends.
And you met
on a boat.
Incredible.
Same, yeah.
But so you've got, I would assume,
like-minded people.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I would assume you've got a spot here and there through.
Yeah, we got a lot of openings this year, and can totally get you dialed in. Anybody, I mean, still from the trip number one, Island Fishing Tackle has got a few spots open, all the way to, I think Reggie's trip is the last trip of the season. He's got a couple of spots open, and we can dial you in anywhere in the season. So,
you know, the question came up, yeah. You know, when to go and when to book, and it's on my bucket list.
And there's a multitude
yes.
of texts.
Yes.
Exactly that, the
so,
right time of the year.
So I'm going to give you a tip out there. Yeah. If you're thinking of going and you wait until after the PCS show, you may not get a spot.
Yeah.
Or the spot you get.
Or the
may
spot
not,
you, yeah, exactly.
May not be the month you want.
Yeah.
Or,
right.
So my recommendation is, talk with your significant other. You know, you know how to fish. Sell your significant other on how great this is going to be for everybody, and get Rosie on the phone. Get her your deposit. Get it on the books, and I guarantee you, it will be a trip you will never forget.
Yeah. And if your significant other, your wife happens to be, yeah, if she
Take
happens
em.
To be, you know, kind of, sort of, maybe wants to try fishing, maybe doesn't, she could go out for a day. You could fish within 15 minutes of the harbor.
I've got a story for you now.
Yes, we're ready.
There, we had a gal that she was just going with her husband. She was not going to get on a ponga. She brought her books. She brought her magazines. I think Floor found someone that could do her nails for her, brought in a masseuse. But I told the gal, I said, please.
Just
please,
try it.
Just one day.
Yeah.
I said, just go out for a few hours, and then they'll bring you back in. And she's like, oh, no, 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 no. I said, please just try it. Well, I think the second day, she decided that she was going to go out.
To tip her toes into the water.
First fish.
Yes.
First yellowtail, bigger than my best.
That's incredible.
She caught a 34-pound yellowtail.
Wow.
And she's holding it, and you see the tears are coming down her face and the smile that
and
big.
And she's hooked.
She's hooked. And she went out the next morning again.
And that's the thing. I mean, there isn't the most beautiful part of the whole island is there's not much to do on the island.
It's
right?
The greatest thing.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. So it's not the place to go. You're not going to go shopping. You're not going to go to the marketplace and do any shopping.
No.
But to sit down, read a book, and enjoy the island. If you wanted to stay on the island for the day, you could walk down to the harbor. You could. There's a handful of things you could do, but it's not.
Yeah.
You're going to go fish.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we set up, a lot of people are curious about the Lobster and Abalone Co-op, and we will set up tours there.
Really?
Yeah. The only thing is you have to have closed-toe shoes and you have to have long pants. That's their only criteria. But, yeah, we'll set up Lobster and Abalone Co-op tours. We have one group that in the afternoon, they all come back by noon, and they want to eat their lunch at the lodge. And then they want to do the hike at the top of the hill.
Oh.
So they do the hike. And, I mean, that hike goes out a ways on the top of the hill. And it's
interesting.
It's beautiful.
And you know what cracks me up is the, like the Bill Varney, you know. Oh, I'm going to go fish. I'm going to walk down the steps.
Yes,
he is. I'm going to fish. And there's people that think that way, right? I'm one of them, but I have yet. I come in from a full day of fishing. I just want to relax,
exactly.
Enjoy the
have a margarita, a beer,
right?
Yeah.
Enjoy the yellowtail sashimi platter. And,
yes.
And I have yet to walk down those steps and fish, even though it's in my heart. I want to do it every time.
Yeah. But keep on saying, I'm going to do it. And it's like, okay, well, maybe
has yet to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen Bill Varney's calendar this year?
It's
you wait till you get to his picture at Cedrus.
What month is that?
I don't know.
Oh, your
calendar.
Yeah.
We'll
have to check it out.
It's hanging on the wall.
Check it out.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Well, as you can hear, we got a great show going on. Yeah. So much fun information. In this second half, it's all about you and it's all about the text. So if you've got a question, text it into the show. Again, just like Corey said, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And let's jump right into those texts. First one was, I have a question for Rosie. What is one fishing technique that somebody should have polished before their trip to Cedros? I hear you talking about surface iron, yellowtail, and calico bass. From a relatively new angler, is there something that I should be working on before my first big trip?
No.
Just get it in the water.
No. Yeah. And that's basically it. It's like I have a bunch of new anglers, and they're like, well, I don't have the right tackle. Sure you do. You got something that you can put a line and a hook on? You're good to go. And seriously, they are. I mean, you know, okay, I can't cast. I can only cast, you know, 50 feet. Great.
Yeah.
You know, I can cast 100. Great.
I fish with a friend, and he struggles a little bit casting a jig. And he casts probably maybe 75 feet to 100 feet, maybe. But yet he can still outfish you.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's amazing. Those fish will bite the iron 5 feet from the side of the boat.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there's plenty of times I have a guy that has shoulder surgery. He's like, I won't be able to throw an iron. You know, it's like, well, then sling it. Sling it out there.
Yeah.
You know, just get something in the water. It's like, no, you don't need to perfect anything. You just need to be able to get your line in the water and just wait.
And the captains are so good
absolutely.
At not only reading the conditions and knowing where to be and what to do, but they're so good at positioning you on where to be and where to cast.
They fish that island every day. They know where to go. They know what to do. If you want to catch this, great. If you want to catch that, they know what to do. And it's like, you know, you don't need to practice anything. You just need to go and do it.
I have a great text here that came in, and thanks for sending this. This comes from Chris in La Mesa, and it says, hello, guys, and question for Rosie. How did the lodge get started? What's the story? And I'm looking to book my first trip to Cedros this coming season. Thanks again. It comes again.
Right on, Chris.
Yeah.
So this all started many moons ago, almost 20 years ago
it's
now.
It's kind of a cool story.
It is. Yeah. It is, because it started with Tom Green and Adriana Ojeda. They were the pilots for not only the Sport Fishing Association of California, but also they worked with Ted Dunn, you know, flying around looking for bluefin, looking for, you know, schools of fish to guide everybody into, and also looking for bait. And they said it every time they flew around Cedros, they said it was just an abundant amount of fish. And Tom Green would say, you know, a good business would be to have a fishing lodge on that island. And that is literally how it started. And it started with Adrian buying a small little house on there. It was a small house with a garage. And now that has turned into Lodge One, or the house has been expanded, and that's the lower, and then the upper house, house 1, 2, and 3, that was the garage.
So that was the legit first piece of property.
You know, Ricky was down there. I think we didn't even have the upper house turned into the houses yet.
We went with Tom and Adrienne before there was an upper house. You know, when there was a little motel that they based their tuna spotting operation out of.
So it's where they would sleep.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, while the plane was sitting.
Yeah.
It was Carlos Zamora's little hotel.
Yeah, and it was the. You know, Tom has always been a great friend and a friend of the show, and it was, hey, you guys go fishing at a lot of places and are familiar with Mexico. We think we've got a great idea to bring people down. We want to know if you'd come down and see what you think. And it was just from day one, oh, my God, this is it. And then to imagine that, you know, that first trip now 20 years ago to what it is today, it makes me so proud of what you guys have accomplished at Cedro Sport Fishing. And, you know, then there was no... There was zero tourism. It wasn't an idea. It was just, you know, they had hired one of the commercial fishing pongas to take us out for the day, and it was as prolific then as it is now. The difference is there's a Rosie at the helm, and it is so refined and so easy. I mean, I think that's the part that I want to stress the most is how easy this trip is. And you guys both hinted at it already. There are, you know, there's no surprise. You made it popular. There are a lot of different operations, and they're all fishing the same water. For me, the biggest difference is there's only one Rosie. Your paperwork is handled. You said it best. You can't screw up your experience in a CBX on a Cedro Sport Fishing trip.
No.
There's literally someone holding your hand the whole way. It's just it's awesome. And the boats, the fleet, the fact that, you know, your captains, you know, and pongas are always adding brand new boats to the fleet. I feel like every time I go down there, Javier's popped a brand new 30-foot ponga out of the mold. It's just every year, one after the other, they're just, it's better and better and better. I love it.
And then think of the way that, you know, we used to pick you up all over Southern California and drive you to Ensenada and not know if you're going to be the first plane out or the second plane out. Are you going to be sitting there for, you know, an hour, or you're going to be sitting there for 5 hours. You did not know.
Rosie was a nightmare. Like, honest to God, coming back and waiting in the...
Never.
Waiting in the San Ysidro port of entry line?
No.
Oh, that
was is it going to be 45 minutes, or is it going to be 4 hours and 45 minutes?
Or 10 hours.
And I have to say this, with CBX, and thank God for the CBX, because that being created... There sometimes are 10 or 11 officers waiting.
More now.
There's more?
They expanded it.
Because here's the crazy thing. I've been through there where there's less people coming into the United States than there are officers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it is so quick. I have never had it more than a 12 or 15-minute wait, ever.
Last year, I think our most was just right around 10.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah. And people were like, oh, my, this is a lot. So...
I think we went. There we go.
There we go?
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it says they get right across so quick and easy and get down there so quick and easy. So I will tell you a little quick little story is this last year, the CBX, I was so blessed. You know, if you go down there and you're not with me, I mean, you might be going to, I don't know, Cabo, Puerto Vallarta. You walk into that CBX and they have this little station there where you can do your visas right at the little computers. So if your passport is 6 months out from expiring, I'm not able to do it online, okay, because I do all your paperwork online. I have everything printed ready to go. So but if the visas or if your passports are 6 months out, I cannot do your visa online. I have to use the computers at the CBX. So one day I walk in, and I'm looking. I'm like, I look at Brianna, where are the computers? And she goes, don't need to do your visas anymore. What they do now is that as you cross over, they literally just scan your passport.
And you're talking to Mexican government.
Yes, they scan
them.
It,
okay.
And they hand you like this little receipt. There it is.
How simple.
So all those hours.
Yeah.
Hours and hours for the last 9 years.
Right.
That I have spent doing visas, and I mean they're lengthy. Jeff will see me at the computer. Because I have to enter your passport number. I have to enter your issue date, the expiration date, your address, your full name. I got to enter all of this stuff. Now it's just done on a swipe. Done. They have streamlined it even more. And then coming back, I don't know what it is, and this has happened a few times this last year. Our friend, it happened to our friend Greg. They see us. They know you guys with the fishing rods and stuff. They know that I'm doing this. And they hand you these little tags when you just go right through.
Oh, how slick.
I love it.
It's all being a part of Rosie.
Yeah. Well, we stranded our catch reporter, Mark Wish. That was my bad, Mark.
Oh,
when you get a chance,
sorry.
Give us a ring back, and we'll get that fishdope.com report coming back your way. But in the meantime, lots of great text messages still piling through, and we had another great one. It says, I'm surprised to hear about how well everything runs, considering the logistics you guys have. I can't wait to take my family down there. I'm wondering what you thought was the appropriate age for a young angler to enjoy a Cedros trip. Our son is fishy and enjoys going on half-day boats. We've never traveled into Mexico. Wanted your opinion on the appropriate time to start him and his first Cedros adventure.
I would say know your kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. I think the youngest I have had down there is like 7 or 8. And then, you know, as they get towards 10 or 11, that's very easy, you know. But know your kid. You know, is he a good travel buddy? Is he easy to, you know, be in, I don't want to say the fear of the unknown, but it's like not knowing what he's going into. Is he going to just go with the flow? I've got kids that have been going down there now. Just trying to think. I think he started off at 8, and he's either, 12 or 13 right now. It's been going down every year. And he just loves it. Every year, he's always caught his personal best.
I love that.
Yeah.
The one fish came up, and I'll have to find the picture of it and post it this next week again. But the fish was as big as he was, and he was like 8 or 9 years old, but it was a 40-pound yellowtail. And he felt bad because he had to use the rail. Oh, poor kid.
You don't feel bad about that. Yeah. You know, people will say that all the time. Like, oh, man, I think I need to step up my rod, or I think I need to step up my reel. You know, I really got my butt kicked. I caught a bunch of 30-pound yellows and Cedros on my last trip, and it kicked my – they don't make tackle that doesn't kick your butt with a 30-pound yellowtail. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. Yeah, that's how it works.
I tell you, pound for pound, those yellowtail are some of the greatest fighting fish. Just love them. And they're the most versatile to eat. I mean, they do it all. You can sashimi. You can do blackened fish tacos. You can do ceviche.
But it's a perfect fish, too, Rosie, to bring home, you know?
Absolutely.
It travels well.
Yeah. It does travel well.
And I saw a text, too, that, and I forget the name, so forgive me, but he had a strategy of the fish he's going to save, and forgive me again for not knowing the name, but he likes to keep his fish from the first day or two so that it's completely frozen.
Frozen solid.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that when he departs, it's good to go.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we tell people is, like, be picky about the fish you take home.
Yeah.
We love it now. We tell everyone, you go up to the fish house on the morning that you depart. You know, if all your fish fits, great. If it doesn't, because we do, every plane has weight limits. Take your upper shoulders. Take your upper loins. Take all your exotics, your white sea bass, your halibut, if you kept any calico. Definitely keep your sheep head, your pinto bass. Those things are all so good. But pick your fish. You know, leave the tail sections.
Yeah, they're not going to go to waste.
We got ceviche we can make.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, you guys have talked about in the past, what about weight limits, strategies for appropriate packing? I know, Jeff, you've done so many trips down there. Where does one, you know, leave some behind to be able to bring some more home? Opposite of that, what's your thoughts on packing and getting down? Because you are flying on a small plane with, you know, and weight limits are weight limits. You know, you got what you got.
Yeah. I take 3 rods. I take a inshore for catching calicos. I take a jig stick, and then I have an everything rod that I can use as a dropper loop, drifting for halibut.
Heavy-duty fly line.
Heavy-duty fly line. I fish that with a Talica 12. So 3 rods, 3 reels. The weight limit now.
Right now it's at 60 pounds, but we're hoping to get that bumped up a little bit. So, rods have not been counting towards the weight. But you know, even if you weigh your 9-foot, 10-foot jig stick, it's not even like a pound and a half.
Yeah. So as far as getting down there so you can bring back the most amount of stuff, a lot of guys have kind of changed up their strategy. We have a full-blown tackle store at the lodge. So you don't need to bring a lot of stuff. Bring your most favorite that you want to use, but don't bring 50 of them.
Yeah, you don't need to bring 50 jigs.
No.
Bring a dozen of your ideal. Yeah.
Maybe six surface irons. Yes. Maybe a couple full-size yo-yos and maybe a smaller yo-yo, but you don't need that.
But the reality of it is, you know, with the tackle that's down there and the stuff that you're going to use, if you gear up to fish the yellowtail and give yourself a fighting chance, don't fish 30 and 40 pound. Please don't do that. You're just wasting your time. Step up, go to 60, go to 80. You're going to have a lot more fun when you catch the fish versus losing tackle.
Yeah.
So going down there, I take a pair of shorts I'm wearing and then two lightweight. They're AFCO. They weigh next to nothing, right? I take three T-shirts. I take a sweater. And I take two hats in case I lose one. Now I can go to town if I need to and go get one, but I always take a dry bag, stick it in there just in case it blows off. I'm the kind of guy that gets sunburned really bad. And then your toiletries. So I can pack my clothes, the tackle that I want to fish with, my reels, not excluding the rods, and I can pack that for under 25 pounds.
That's doing all right.
Okay, that means that I get to bring back 35 pounds of fish.
35 pounds of straight filet.
Table-ready filet.
Table-ready, vacuum-packed fish.
Yes.
So, but the other thing you got to remember, too, is everybody hears, you know, how great the fishing is. And, you know, yeah, they adhere to limits.
Yeah.
But you got to realize you can only bring back
so much
fish.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice to catch them, but you don't have to kill them all, right?
Catch them
and let them go. Let somebody else have some enjoyment. But you should be able to get down there. Honestly, less than 30 pounds. I forgot my CPAP machine. Yes, you can bring those because there is power down there.
Yeah.
So, you can still pack. You can still take everything that you need. And if you forgot something, you got 11 other people's tackle boxes that you can go to look at, right? And got guys that you fish with.
Yeah. Guarantee you I brought too much. You can borrow one of my jigs.
And Javier has a tackle store on the island as well.
And we have a great tackle store at the lodge. We really do. The other thing that I encourage is obviously if you got, you know, family going, you guys work out of one tackle box. But if you got a buddy going and you guys can, you know, if you have a tackle box that holds like maybe four Plano boxes, hey, you take two. Share that one tackle box and weight. So share weight on there.
Hey, we've got a guy on the line that knows a little bit about tackle.
Yeah, that's for sure. We got him, the man, Captain Mark Wish, our private boater buddy from Pacific Edge, is on the line.
And it's brought to us by the Fish Bros of Fishman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location in Old Town on Taylor Street or just check them out at fishmansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservation today. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Corey and Ricky and Rosie and Jeff. You guys are having way too much fun.
We normally do.
Right?
We
do. Talking a beautiful place. And sorry for the hiccup there, Mark, and appreciate you calling back.
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, I thought you forgot about me.
Never.
No, not you.
Later.
We're just having a great time talking Cedros Island.
Exactly.
Calico. Dude, all you have to mention is Calico Bass, Mark, and I'm a little flustered.
I get that. You know, years back, I used to run boats up and down the coast, and we always stopped at Cedros, especially on our way down.
Yeah.
Getting beat up and launch the skiff and go in and fish those kelp beds and just wallop them calico bass and yellowtail occasionally, just like you guys are talking. And that was more than a few years ago. It's still going, man. It's just awesome. But anyway, so it looks like our stretch of spring-like weather that we've been having here, it's going to continue a few more days, but we got a little hiccup coming toward the end of next week. We are going to get some rain, apparently, thank God, finally. But it don't look like any big deal. Probably not going to see too much disruption to our nice warm water scenario we've been blessed with here. I checked all the buoys this morning just a little bit ago, and 62 to 63 all up and down the coast, even with a couple of 64s. The buoy below Clemente was 64 this morning.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It just bodes well. We do got a big swell out there, guys, so if you're out there flipping around anywhere near some shallow water, be careful. We got a really, really large swell. Up north in Santa Monica Bay, had a good uptick in the bait situation. A bunch of new squid moved in from kind of Marina Del Rey down toward Torrance Beach like that. and really helpful for the local bass fishing, of course, you know, fishing the squid on the lead head and the rocks and wrecks there. It's been really good this winter. And what's also likely to happen with that squid might get some of that local sea bass motivated. They live in the kelp there between Flat Rock and Rocky Point proper, and they don't often venture out far. I'm getting divers reports. There's quite a bit of fish up there. It's just hard to catch them, but that squid will make that a little more possible. Definitely worth checking out. And also on a coaster, I want to mention, this is just a great catch out of Dana Point. A couple weeks ago, a guy got a 52-pound yellow. This week, a guy got a 45-pound
yellow. Wow, jeez.
Incredible.
Yeah. And, man, I saw some – there's pictures on Bloody Decks right now. The guy put up a really nice report. I saw the pictures of that 45-pounder. God, just a beautiful fish. It's fat, healthy, happy. No, maybe not so happy, actually.
Angler's pretty happy.
Angler's happy, the fish was not.
Boy, I tell you, just a great catch. Congratulations, guys. So at the islands, nothing from Nick. A little early for that. You know, no cod fishing right now, obviously, and surface stuff's just a little early. SBI starting to wake up a little bit. A little bit of squid moved in there, and a sample of sea bass has been captured up there in the water, 61, 62, like that. Bodes very, very well for that little island. I love that island. It's a lot of big fish per square inch of that island there. Or at Catalina, pretty good a couple weeks ago. You know, all of it, some sea bass, some smaller grade yellows around. Pretty good fishing for this time of year. And it was kind of backside east mostly, but then it backed off again like it does. You know, it's up, bites a while, quits a while. And hopefully that reloads. Squid situation was tough, but there's new bait moving in, middle of the back, kind of around Ben Weston like that. But again, we got that big swell right now, so it's probably not real nice conditions back there. It's going to get pretty washed out. Nothing at all from Coming Island this year, and probably won't get too much with a whole lot of people focused on watching football tomorrow.
Tomorrow, so. Yeah.
And yep, big doings on the football grounds for sure. So that's this week's report, and no telling what we're going to be talking about next weekend with the way conditions are. I mean, the water's warm, a lot of interesting things happening. It just feels to me like we are getting a setup for a warm water year. It's just everything seems like it's coming together. So we'll see.
Well, it certainly sounds all right to me. Again, if this is what our winter doldrum reports are, 40-pound yellows and bonita on the coast, we can get through that just fine, huh?
Not a problem.
Mark
and Ricky.
Yo.
That little rod, you know, we've been talking about.
Yes, sir.
So mine has all the guides, the second coat of wrap, got to clean up a few little boo-boos, put the third coat on with my name, and then it's going fishing.
That's
78 foot.
The new Calstar.
GG 278-foot regular, non-heavy.
Yeah, non-heavy. It's like perfect.
So
this is perfect.
Mark, I know I spilt the beans when we went on our when Doug and Brandon and I went up to, you know, go over PCS stuff with Chris. And last weekend I was under the weather, so I didn't get to kind of share the follow up report. So, you know, this is the slow time of year at the tackle store, and all of our boats are doing their maintenance period. And you know, the big thing for us right now is just prepping for the PCS show. Like, this is the time of year when, you know, a large amount of inventory comes in, getting ready for the show. So it's all pricing and packing.
Yeah.
But foot traffic is down, and it was a good opportunity. So we picked the slowest day that we had of the week. We rented a little limo bus, and we did a school field trip. And all the boys went up to CalStar, and we did the full tour of the factory, and all the guys in the shop went to, you know, just to know how much goes into those rods. And it's just so eye-opening what a lot of people would consider unnecessary steps that CalStar does to make sure those things are perfect.
Yeah.
Like extra steps of hand sanding and extra steps of coating and extra steps of baking, all the things that went into it. And we had a lot of fun, you know, with the boys, and they gave us a great tour of the factory, and we got to see your new favorite rod, that GG 278. And I'll say is I got a very cool variation that we had CalStar make just for the tackle store for PCS show that you have to come by the booth to check out. I think it'll be right up your alley.
Oh boy, You're throwing me a teaser. I
guess. Yeah.
fun stuff on the horizon for sure, buddy. Well, Mark, a fantastic report as always. We sure appreciate everything you do, keeping us rolling here on Let's Talk Hookup. And somebody wants to get the best in bait tanks or the best info around, how do we find you, Pacific Edge?
We're in Huntington Beach, Ricky. We're on a corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the Chevron station there. And the phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And Corey, the white flowers, 2 weeks early, are almost all down on my benchmark tree.
That is crazy. The dogwood. Yeah, because that typically wouldn't start until right now.
Now.
Right? Like mid-February.
Yeah. Yeah, they're way early this year.
Incredible.
Well, it means something. Don't know what, but it means something.
There it is, Mark.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thank you. Awesome report, man. He always has the good info, doesn't
he? Even on trees.
Yeah, even the dogwood trees. And then Doug has what you call the yellowtail tree.
The yellowtail tree, yeah. Right? I couldn't tell you what kind of tree it is, but yeah, the yellowtail tree in the back of Doug's yard has been guaranteed for however many years. He'll always, you know, it used to always be myself, because Neil and I were always out fishing yellowtail on some season. Now that we both have boys, that the number of days we have spent has lessened, but the end result is always the same. Doug will be like, man, I don't know, I haven't heard anything, but the yellowtail tree's in full bloom. And then one of the guys like, yeah, nobody said anything. There's been a really, you know, hush-hush yellowtail local bite. It's something about it, man. Mother Nature has her tells. There's no doubt.
I see it. The Mark and Doug Arbor report.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're starting to go. We're starting to see buds. It's going to be happening any time here.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Stand by.
Yeah, no doubt.
Even our avocados are like, the buds are all early this year. Yeah. We're like looking at the avocado trees and going, oh boy, it's going to be a season.
Crazy. Yeah, definitely good stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump right back into those texts. We had another fun one here. This is a Jeff, you mentioned your quiver. Can you give me a rundown of what you think the most important rod I need to bring when I'm paring down my tackle? I'm having a tough time. I'm a bit of a tackle hoarder, but I definitely want to bring, I want to have lots of room for those yummy fillets to bring home with me.
What target species?
Yeah.
First question.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I'm not going to tell you to take down a yellowtail rod and you're going to fish calicos. Although
exactly.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
It works.
Yeah, bring it on.
But if you're going to take one rod, I would take an 8 to 10 foot jig stick that you're very comfortable with fishing. You can throw a surface iron and you turn a handle a little bit quicker, you're going to be catching yellowtail. You slow it down and you're going to catch calico bass. Like I said earlier, I take a jig stick, an inshore. I fish 80-pound braid, 60 to 80-pound leader, about 6 to 8 feet long, and my jig. Corey's convinced me to move up the same level on my inshore rod, and it made a difference last time because I had hooked a yellowtail on a big yellow banana slug that I love fishing with now. And had I not had the setup that you had recommended,
you wouldn't have landed.
No, it would have been a show for about 3 seconds.
But that's the thing. Like even if you're a diehard calico guy and you're used to maybe locally 50 pound Power Pro with the 30 pound Seaguar leader, leader, bump it all up. You do not use lighter than the 65 pound Power Pro, because there's a big difference between the 65 and the 50.
Yes.
And
difference.
Don't use the 30 and 40-pound leaders. We've already said it a couple times, but it is, with all honesty, I personally bring down nothing lighter than 60-pound 60-pound fluoro Seaguar.
Yeah.
60, and 80, and I've even got some,
100 in there.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. We have fished 100-pound dropper lid before, because I have hooked some fish on a Talica 12 on 80-pound, and I got smoked.
Right.
Smoked. And that doesn't happen often, and it did
twice
in about a half an hour.
Wow.
It was amazing. So decide what you want to do for your fishing style. If you're going to bring down your surface irons, bring 6 or 8 of them. You're not going to need that many, especially if you gear up. If you're going to be fishing the calicos and that's all you're going to do, come and see Ricky. Get the watermelon Christmas tree Vallejos bags full, plural bags full. Yeah. Those fish down there.
They just eat it.
They have sharp teeth because they're not crunching on snails and little mollusks and stuff. They eat like bait.
And we've talked about it before. Like, you think the bigger the better, and you think you know, 7-inch and go bigger, stay with a 5-inch. With all honesty, it's the 5-inch Viejos is the perfect size. They inhale it. The tails don't get bit off.
Yep.
The bait will last you longer.
Yeah.
You're going to catch the same quality. It's not going to handle
absolutely. You know, a 10-pounder will eat that snack just as easy as a 5-pounder will.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're going to fish, you want to fish some bottom stuff with live bait, then, you know, bring down 3-0, 5-0, 7-0, depending on what size mackerel you're catching for bait. Gear up on that dropper loop. I would fish it no less than an 8-ounce. If you're fishing for the halibut, bring a 10-ounce. And if you only bring one each and you lose one, there are more at the lodge. Yeah, at tackle store, right?
You make a great point on sinker size. And, you know, 8 and 10-ounce might seem big to people because, oh, man, that's the size that I'm using when I'm fishing 350 feet of water for cod. And Shakers is relatively shallow. You know, your dropper loop fishing that you're doing there is in relatively shallow water. It's not just about getting to the bottom. It's holding that bait on the bottom.
Yes.
And, you know, you're making your bait there on scene, and it's mackerel, and it's, you know, you're fishing for 30-pound yellows, and, like, you're trying to anchor a pretty big bait to the bottom, not necessarily just, you know, it's not the – doesn't sure, you could get to the bottom with a 4-ounce torpedo sinker, but that mackerel's never going to let it hang on the bottom. That's what you're wanting to do with that dropper loop. You're anchoring that bait to the bottom. You're not allowing him to dart off. You know, he's going to be going crazy on the bottom where you're at, and that's where your bite's coming from.
One other little tip is make sure you bring some sabikis, at least 30-pound mainline, 20-pound leader line to the little fly, at about 3/4 inch, and don't fish that sabiki with less than a 4-ounce sinker. Because when you're catching AAA mackerel and you're catching 5 or 6 at a time, it will destroy your sabiki.
Like the first drop.
In one drop.
Like the first drop.
In one drop.
Yeah.
And be quick. Don't be the lazy angler when you drop it.
I'm going to load it up.
I'm going to load it up because you're going to have nothing but an absolute mess when you come back.
And not only that, just drop it down a little ways. I've got guys pulling up baby calico bass.
Right.
I think that's
You can get down there, just target what you're going to want to do, load up a little bit on it. You don't have to go crazy. And like I said, you should be able to get all your gear, all your clothes, everything, less than 30 pounds, packed up, ready to go. And one last thing I wanted to mention is when we were talking about clothes, and I only said I take a pair of shorts that I wear and two extras, and you're down there for 5 days or 6 days, there's a laundry service.
Oh, yeah, every day.
Every day. So really, if you wanted to get down there with two pairs of shorts, the one you're wearing, two T-shirts, the one you're wearing, a sweater, you can just bring home more fish.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm with you, and I'm the same every single day. I bring two sets of fishing clothes, one that I wear, one that's getting washed. I wear the other one the next day. I wear the other one, you know, just trade those things back off, and then your one clothes for flying back and forth with. Your entire thing should fit in a backpack with plenty of room to spare.
Yeah.
A couple shorts, a couple shirts, your flip-flops, some sunblock, away you go.
I wrap my reels up with a T-shirt, and I throw them in a little carry bag, and boom.
That's it.
Done.
Simple enough. I have a great text.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
It has to do with everything we're talking about, and the question comes from Big Ed in Baldwin Park. Thank you, Ed, for leaving your name and number. Does taking a rod tube limit us on our overall airplane size and weight? And how dangerous is it to simply bring just 3 to 4 rods tied up in a sock? And is the lodge and the rooms, are they air conditioned? And again, thank you.
Great question.
No rod tube.
Yeah, no rod tube. And first of all, we'll go, yes, every room is air conditioned, but no rod tube. We do not
allow it.
Allow it. We
you don't
are,
need it. You don't
no,
need
well,
it.
And we're flying a Cessna Grand Caravan, and you know, it's the workhorse of a smaller aircraft, but it is still a smaller aircraft. If everyone brought a rod tube, no one would be bringing any rods.
Yeah.
So basically, there's a couple things you do. Yes, please. You could put your rods in those rod sleeves or rod, you know, and bundle them together. Tell you what we do. Jeff puts our rods tip to butt, and we put the beach towel kind of around, put the guides towards the center, and puts a beach towel around them, takes that blue painter's tape from Lowe's or Home Depot, tapes up that beach towel, and we take the blue painter's tape with us, and we do the same thing on the return. I've got people that use the smaller bubble wrap. I've got people that put their stuff together and take the little pool noodles and just put it around the tip. I mean, you can get very creative. Everything lightweight. you know? So it's like, yeah, no rod tubes, nothing that rigid. Same is going to go for your coolers.
Okay.
Okay. You do not need to bring a cooler to Cedros with you. Everything will come back in our soft-sided cooler bags. And when you come around to the front of the CBX with your car to load your stuff up, we'll take the fish out of our coolers. That is all in a trash bag, and we'll put it inside your cooler. But the one thing I do say is if you have a soft-sided cooler bag, an AO cooler, a Nordchill cooler, Yetis, I'll be honest with you, Yetis don't hold that much. But if you have a soft-sided cooler bag, you can take it down to the island with you, and our crew will load your fish up in your cooler bag. This works really great for people that are flying out at 1 or 2, 3 o'clock in the mm-hmm. afternoon because they just go right to the airport. Their fish is in their cooler bag. And
ready to go.
Ready to go.
That's a good call.
So
the fish is so easily done, too.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, it's just – and, you know, you guys, your crew does a great job of kind of keeping track of what is available. You know, you can kind of get a heads up and game plan how much you have, how much you want to bring. And again, if you said it already, you can pick and choose what you want to bring
yeah.
home. If you're fortunate enough that you do have a little bit extra, or you pick the ones you want. And, you know, the bottom loin of your yellowtail from the first day, if you want to donate that to somebody on the island, no problem.
Yeah.
You'll make every accommodation
absolutely.
Right for somebody.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool.
And there's sometimes people can take home more fish than they think.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it all, you know, processed. And then all of a sudden they find out, oh, man, I still got 7 pounds of weight of fish I could have kept.
Right.
Well, guess what? There's going to be plenty left over.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And you're not going to go home shorthanded. It's
yeah.
It's one of the wonderful things.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a customer, you know, when he got home and he was had to buy another freezer, by the way.
I love that.
And he said, Rosie, he goes, you know, my tag color was green, but I got some other colors in here. I said, oh, I said, awesome. I said, so that means you had a little more weight than you could take, and we filled you up with someone's fish from probably the last trip.
Yeah.
Because if you have weight, extra weight, we fill you up to your limit.
That's so cool. Yeah, so he was shy. He did a great job on his packing.
Yep.
He had all of his fish that he wanted to keep
yep.
go, but there was a few extra pounds. So here you go.
Wait, we fill them up.
Have some bonus halibut.
Fill them up. Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it's no stranger. I'm sure all of us have heard the second hour. No spots have been running, and you know you can just chalk that
That's
up.
The way
to,
it is.
You can chalk that up to Rick being at the helm. But this is the spot where we normally talk about our 60-second live Shimano spot, and there's just not there was no way that I could ignore. You know, when we normally talk about the different Shimano reels based on what we're doing, and how do you not talk about Tranks when we're talking Cedros sport fishing? I mean, you couldn't put pencil to paper and draw a better platform. Honestly, you could just, you know, in your 3-rod quiver that, you know, Jeff's talking about, they could be all Tranks reels and cover everything from, you know, from the smaller 150s and 200s that I know Corey likes. For me, the smallest I'm bringing is the 3, you know, your 400 being your miscellaneous kind of do all big bait, fish a weedless, a 500 for surface iron. I mean, Corey, there's a right size for every scenario at that island.
There really is. And I mean, I'm not bringing the 150 and 200s on that trip for sure. But yeah, the 300, the 400,
yeah.
It's about all you need, right?
Two, I mean, 2 500s for me.
Yes, please. And thank you.
Yes.
There's exactly. Just the user friendliness of Tranks is probably my favorite thing. You can really pass that reel along. We've had several text questions and one caller asking about, you know, bringing my significant other, I'm bringing a friend, I'm bringing a kid. The thing that's so cool about a Tranks is you could put it in the hands of a pro like Corey, have all of the casting brakes turned off, and watch incredible distance come out of that reel. You could then take that exact same reel, the same jig, hand it to your nephew who's never done it before, turn all the brakes all the way back up, and with very little coaching on, like, the thumb on, thumb off, he's going to fish the entire weekend, backlash free. You know, you're not going to achieve the same distance as a master caster like Corey is, but more, double the distance needed to catch a yellowtail at Cedros Island. With the training wheels on it, you can't backlash the reel. I mean, they're so great.
Rick, the 300 has more line capacity with 65-pound Power Pro than you'll ever need, I promise you.
Yeah, they're such great reels. The addition of the, you know, the HG versions with higher gear ratios, but that power handle, so great. It's easy to get a lot of torque out of a small reel that fits in your hand real good. I love them, man. It's the one to get for sure. And you can check it out at your local dealer, or a great opportunity at PCS show coming up to score yourself a deal.
Are you guys going to have some at the...
You know it, fam. Like, it'll be there. Maybe a little special line deal to go along with it. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time to buy.
I can smell it from here.
I can watch these two trying to plan out what the next reel is.
They're doing it right now. Exactly. Oh, good stuff. Anyway.
You know, the other one that I just don't want to miss in this one is our good friends at AFCO. And AFCO, again, you want to talk about the right gear for bringing down. They're like, that's what I envision when you're talking about easy packing. A couple of pairs of board shorts that weigh nothing. They don't stain. Material lasts, you know, like, and I know that you have them because I get a phone call from Rosie every single year of about the middle of November. Hey, I need shorts for the boys. Both Zach and Jeff are due for their annual Christmas presents. I need AFCO this style for Zach. I need AFCO that style for Jeff. Yep. I need every year. It's the same. And you don't want to talk about a thing that you can wear every single day of the week, and they just last and last and last. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, they build the right stuff for sure.
My boys love
I can tell you.
He's got them on now.
I got them on now. And the wicking of the water.
Right.
The staining that does not happen.
It's crazy.
They're comfortable as heck. They're lightweight, so, I mean, it feels like you're, sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I got shorts on. I mean,
thank God.
It's not like you're wearing a pair of cotton pants.
Exactly.
Right.
And they get wet at the handrail, you know, or if you're up at the bait tank and some water splashes out. You know, I could take a shower in these, and they're going to be dry when I get out.
Yeah.
It's just the way everything works with it. I tell you what, they're my favorite
part. Like the stain and smell resistance is what's so crazy too. You know, you catch your big yellow on the day and you're taking a picture with it, the next thing you know, you got the big slime ball going down your short leg. You can literally grab two handfuls of water out of the bait tank, rub it on your shorts, rub it around. 20 minutes later, it's dry. There's no stain. There's just, you know, they're the ones, man.
He even wears these when he's working the avocado grove.
There you go.
And it's like he comes back up, and it's just like they clean well. Wash well. I mean, they're great.
Yeah, they make the right stuff. No doubt about it. Well, we're packed up. Corey, I know you had another tech standby you were wanting to bring up.
Well, just Hills from Ventura giving us a shout-out saying good morning, but he reminded us that Doug's yellowtail tree is an ornamental pear.
Right.
Ornamental care. All right. Thank you, Hills. Appreciate you chiming in.
Well, this is a quick one that I had to read, and it's from another great bud, and it's our buddy Jeff Roberto from Sushi
Roll.
I
love Jeff.
Thank you,
Jeff.
It's short and to the point. Rick, do not forget the tortillas. Great show, everybody. Can't wait to see you again. I know Jeff had a great time coming to fishing with you, Rosie, and boy, is he right.
You know, he's so blessed, our crew down there. They came down and he taught all the girls how to roll.
That's so cool.
Make some sushi rolls, on a roll, and make some rolls. Taught them how to do hand rolls. Taught them all
a true master at his craft.
I mean, and the girls were sending me pictures, and Jeff was sending me pictures. Sandra was sending me. They were just sending me pictures. They had a great time, but the tortillas.
Oh my God!
Crazy.
What is it about?
Darn good. Yeah,
they're made with lard.
Lard.
That's the secret.
As all tortillas are.
No. They are not. Okay. But I tell you what, those tortillas are magical. People bring those home. God bless Floor, our crew. At the end of the season, she will send me 20 bags so we can make it through.
You're right. Through the off-season.
They freeze well. I have shared some with our, you know, we live on the ranch now, and we have a couple neighbors at the ranch. They're kind of few and far between, but I walk my dogs through everybody's ranch, you know, and I've turned them on to the tortillas, and now they're wanting more tortillas.
Yeah.
And
so
they're
crazy.
Like the best. And I tell people, it's like, you know, just fire up the griddle. Don't put anything in the griddle. Just the tortilla, warm them up on each side.
Oh, when that lard starts to release and it starts to sizzle. Oh,
wow.
I'm going to go home.
A little mantequilla, perhaps?
Hey, yeah.
I know this. They go all across the North American continent. I know
they do.
Rick brings them and sends them to his boy.
In Alaska, yeah.
And I used to send them to Carly back in Pennsylvania at school.
Crazy.
I know the guys from, a couple of the guys that come with us from Georgia. Take them back there. You know, I mean, it's It's unbelievable.
So for those of you
good call, Jeff.
For those of you that are now worried about coming back with weight and you have extra tortillas, you carry them.
Carry them on the plane.
You carry them on the plane because carry on doesn't get weighted.
There you go.
So if you buy a couple 3-packs, which will weigh about 3 or 4 pounds because there's so many in a bag, you're still golden. And I challenge you to fly home with them
and not open them.
Oh, dude, totally.
Watch out.
I always tell buds that are coming down to, you know, I always tell them the same thing, like, man, you got to make sure to get that. When somebody comes into the tackle store wanting to get themselves outfitted for their Cedars trip, I always tell them the same thing, like, make sure you grab tortillas. And if you got extra, you grab some from your boy there, you know.
Exactly.
Like, it's there.
They really are that good.
Yeah.
So how difficult is it for somebody going on a trip to...
Well, let me tell you really quick.
Yeah.
You know, our island, the people on the island, they keep their Sabbath day, which is Sunday for them. The tortilla shop is not open on Sunday. So if you are leaving on Monday, depending on things, get your tortillas on Saturday.
Yeah, good call.
Because if the tortilla shop, if it just happens not to be open because things happen on the island on Monday morning, get your tortillas on Saturday.
That's a good call. And again, it couldn't be easier. You just tell anybody at the lodge, you know, this is what I want, and they'll make it happen.
Yeah. And the tortilla place is so close to the harbor,
right,
that when they're coming to pick you up, you know, when you guys are coming back in, go over to the tortilla shop.
The neat thing is it's not, they're not brought in by a truck to the store. They're made right there.
And so go see how they're made.
Out of the truck, go inside and watch the tortillas being made. It's in a room that's probably 30 by 30.
If you ask for a bag of tortillas to show up before you leave, it's going to happen for you. But you would be missing out on the experience to go to the little factory and watch it go down. It's super cool.
A lot of times they'll throw you a tortilla.
Oh, dude, it's
hot.
So good. God, I want to get back to them.
What a call, Jeff.
Yeah, good call, Jeff. Rosie, I was hoping you could expand on this one. It says, sounds like Rosie's quite an expert on transporting fish on airlines, both from her current position and the previous hat she wore. I'm looking for some advice on the most economical way to take frozen fish aboard U.S. Airlines. Brian in San Diego, sorry for derailing you from Cedros. By the way, I've been and can't wait to go again.
Awesome. Yeah, you know what? Flying with fish is actually so much easier than you actually think. No wet ice, no dry ice. It is just better that way. No wet ice, no dry ice.
And you'll have no issues.
You'll have no issues.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the other thing that we do really recommend, and it is just easier and it works well, are those soft-sided cooler bags, even when you're traveling. They're a lot easier to put into places. So, you know, if we gel packs are fabulous. They have gel packs at Walmart for $1. Get some gel packs.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever flown before and you've had fish from one of the fish processors here in San Diego, they have those blue soft side gel packs. Mm-hmm. Save them.
Totally.
Bring them. They'll freeze them at the lodge. They'll put them in there. But definitely, you know, just have your soft sided cooler bags. We recommend, too, that we know are tried and true. We have the AO cooler. We have some charter masters that bring their Nordchills. They both are fabulous. Definitely get something that can hold up to 50 pounds, the 48 can, as they call it. Even the 36 can will hold 50 pounds, okay? And then, you know, we had the guys from Georgia. They had packed up their coolers at the lodge. We dropped them off at the airport. They got home, and they said their fish was still frozen.
I love that.
We have Bruce Poley that I don't know if you know from Oregon.
Okay.
Those guys, same thing. They all use the AO cooler. They do not put gel packs in there because they want that extra fillet of fish.
I love it.
They get home, still frozen. So, I mean, the gel packs will serve you well. You know, if you know anything about how cold air and hot air works, hot air rises, cool air comes down. So gel packs on top,
okay,
type of thing. That works out well.
And you probably, and then obviously on a Cedros trip, you don't need to worry about it because you got your crew packing it. But I know you want no airspace in there too, right?
No airspace.
So if you are shipping something here, you got room in the cooler, fill it full of towel, fill it full of something like...
newspaper.
Yeah, okay.
Paper is really good. Cardboard
okay.
is really good. Yeah.
There it is. And getting your cooler cold first makes a big difference, too. Yeah, you put that ice and fish into a warm cooler.
Bed, yeah.
That cooler is going to absorb that cold and take it away from what you got. Throw a big block of ice in your cooler the day before you plan on packing it. Get it cold first, then everything's going to go a long way.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, appreciate the text very much. I thought this was a fun one. For someone who's only fished Cedros on bigger boats, I'm in love with this show, and I can't wait to go down there. Could you describe the Ponga experience a little more for someone who's never fished on the small boats?
One thing that I love about the Pongas is I love, obviously, how low they are to the water. If you're on a long-range boat, I mean, a lot of those boats, you're up a little bit higher, but being right down there on the water, being one with the water, watching, being able to watch the water, watch what's actually going on under the water, because there is nothing more exciting to me than throwing out my surface iron on the retrieve, watching that yellowtail come out of the water and just roll on that thing is just, I love that. The other thing about Pongas, being able to get into those tighter spots is huge. On a long range boat, I mean, they're not allowed in there anymore, but you wouldn't be able to get into the spots that we can get into. Like talking about like Tommy P getting into the boiler rocks, that type of thing. Long range ain't going in there. You ain't getting in close. So
just the experience of being part of it is fun too. Like obviously you're a passenger and you're extremely well catered to, but like you're part of the crew. And you know, when you and your bud have a double and you know, you're going to gaff the fish that time. I mean, obviously, will Javier take care of all of it? Of course he will. Will all the guys? Of course it will. But, like, you're part of it, you know, and it's fun, and your day's easy. The other thing that's cool about this experience is the trip is for you. You know, there was a caller earlier asking about, you know, bringing his gal down with him. And if you want, you know, if you want to just have the two of you on the boat, Rosie, I know that there's accommodations for that.
Yeah.
If you want a later departure, an earlier arrival, if you want to run back because you don't want to use the potty on the boat, you want to do it, that's fine, too. Whatever. It's your trip. You know, you'll make whatever accommodations you want.
Absolutely.
One of the neat things is, and everybody who's fished on a long-range trip knows this, you hook a big fish, they don't follow the fish with the boat.
Well, obviously they can't, right? Yeah,
right.
But in the Ponga, it becomes a part of.
Yeah, we park you on the bow. You can kneel. You can sit. And Javier or any of the other captains will drive the boat towards your fish to help you because there's times it's needed.
It actually, the last trip down there, I was fishing with Bucky, and he hooked, I forget how big, it was in the low 40s, you know, a 42 or 44-pound yellowtail, and it was the largest fish of our trip. We had to battle that thing. It was through the kelp, and
circling
it went from
around
stringer to stringer, and we were working that thing.
Oh, that's part of the fun.
Well,
right?
I love how the Ponga captains are so good
savvy.
At
They're savvy.
Yeah, they're savvy. That's
yes.
it.
Yeah.
They're warriors.
Exactly, yeah.
And, and they take it so personal. Now it's like they're fired up. They want to get that thing, too. They're not going to let that fish beat them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not.
And are the opportunities to fish Chesters and
Bonitas? Talk about that now because we don't have time, and that's a really fun part of it. Yes.
Eric and Cal Sheets love fish Chesters. I know you're listening, Eric, and I'm talking about you. Yes. There's opportunities, absolutely.
And Bonitas, I mean, the right time of the year.
Yeah, but tell us about, because that is a fun experience, and I have so much trouble with, because I love Bonitas. I've made the trip to Bonitas with Cedro Sport Fishing multiple times. Every time it's been fantastic. But my problem is always this, like,
the time.
You want to do it on the best weather day because it's a long crossing, and obviously you're in a small boat and you want it to be a comfortable crossing. And Cedros is an area that's got a lot of wind, and the beauty of it is if the wind is up, you've got 30 miles of protected lee that you fish in. But if you're on a day and the wind's not blowing, because to get to Bonitas, you're shooting across the weather side, so you're picking the best weather day to make that run across. But if you have that incredible weather, the calico bass fishing on the weather side, it's so good.
Yeah, it's an August
that every year, all those trips are like, oh, we're going to go to Bonitas on Wednesday. The fishing's, you know, the oldest rule has always been don't leave them to find them. And like, you can't break that rule. If you just had one of the greatest days of bass fishing of your life How are you gonna, you know,
travel to go?
How are you gonna take two extra hours out of your day to get to another place to have it? You know, you. It's just so hard for me to make that call.
Everything that you said is like I go over with people. They want to fish bonitas. Like, okay, it's gonna take you an hour and a half there and an hour and a half back. Would you rather fish three more hours?
Right.
I could tell you this. I would.
If it's on your bucket list,
it is. Yes.
Then I say. Do it, because you need to get that off of your bucket list.
Bonitos is the place that I have seen the largest grade of calico bass. Like, overall. Like, yeah. I mean...
Where the average one is a big one.
Yeah. Well over 5 pounds. Yeah. Like, that's... like
sheephead, too.
The average.
Big sheephead over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's my problem with Cedros, is there are so stinking many
2 to 4 pounders,
like regular big ones,
insane.
That there's not as much room for the giant big ones, you know, like,
but you are part of a giant.
I have. I've got to see two fish. I've got to see two fish over 9 pounds from Cedros, including Javier. I've told the story a bunch of times. It was Javier's like big, you know, he said the biggest bass that he had ever been a part of. And he caught it and was so bummed out. You know, we had convinced him to fish with us, and it was just Dallas and I. We just the two of us, and we were having the best fishing ever. And I was yelling at him, what the hell are you doing? Like, grab a rod, they're everywhere. And we had to force him to fish. He made two casts, and on a second one, he caught what we did not have a scale. What he estimated at 11 pounds, and he was so disappointed that he caught that fish.
Because he wanted
because
you to
he
get
felt,
it.
Yeah, he felt like he took it away from a passenger. Yeah. We were the most excited. We were doing backflips. You know, Dallas had a fish that was in the high eights, low 9 pound range that same day. It was one of the best fishing days my wife and I have ever experienced together ever. And Javier was bummed out that he took that fish away from him. And he quit fishing after that. It was like the biggest fish I've ever got to see. And
it
was something
wow,
else. Yeah, it was
crazy.
It was really
look at that monster.
It is a monster.
Yeah.
And
on a 5-inch viejo.
And then,
come on.
Yeah,
and then there's Dallas.
Yeah.
And she had a Tiffany's color.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's a special place, man. Nothing like it. I love that island so much. I love that island. I love that fishing, man. It's really, really cool.
You've talked calicos and yellows in the shallows and just you've got me there. Yeah. And there's still, like Tommy P, and you mentioned, there's still an open spot with him.
There's still open spots.
So,
guys, all I can say is, just please book before the show, because at the show they will be gone.
Yeah, right.
So that way you can get pick your poison.
Exactly.
So
and right now somebody wants to call and book for Tommy P's trip or one of the other ones. What's the number?
Yeah, you know, I like it when they call me.
Okay.
Because that way it's like there tends to be questions. And I'd like to go over all of those questions. So I would say the best thing to do is just give me a buzz. Our phone number is 619-772-7570. But before you call me, go to cedrossportfishing.com and look at it. It says book online. Our schedule will pop up, and you can see the schedule. And you can say, hey, what about this trip? What about that trip? Where would I fit in? And then we can go over all those questions and find the best spot for you.
That's it. Well said. Well, hey, again, I want to mention another couple of those spots that, you know, again, with the spots not getting to read, just some people that are so important to Let's Talk Hookup and, you know, basically keeping it on the air and making us happen. And a big one is the San Diego County Ford dealers. And, you know, they take such good care of us and are such, you know, unsung heroes. I'm an F-150 driver myself, and I'm an F-150 everyday guy and an F-250 tow guy in the back that doesn't move along the side of the house. So a huge thanks to the San Diego County Ford dealers. This is such a fun time, you know, with so much great Ford product available. If you do and you have the time, just for the fun, man, go for a test drive on the weekend. Tell them you're a supporter of Let's Talk Hookup. Tell them you appreciate everything they do keeping us on the air. Another big one, Red Rooster 3. We're going to be having Captain Andy Cates in the studio tomorrow.
Yeah.
So always a fun show with Captain Andy. Red Rooster 3, again, such a big part of Let's Talk Hookup for so many years. And the last one during this one is Kingfisher Charters. Had such a fun time with Seth and Simon talking fishing. It was a lot of fun. Simon and I have fished together for you know, it's getting to be close to 30 years up there at Kingfisher Charter, and a lot of that was a really fun show. If you missed it, check out our archives on Kingfisher Charters. And I know that there are a space for two people to get to go fishing at Kingfisher, so we're really excited about that, and a great opportunity. So it's been a really fun show. It's been an odd one not having the breaks. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did.
Yeah.
Fun not having the interruption, but always so great having Rosie and Jeff in here. And it's time for us now to find out who is going to win that brand new pair of Costa sunglasses, whether we have a caller or a texter. Jeff's going to do us the honors of flipping our prize coin.
There
we have a caller today, and our call. Hey, look at that. Somebody's not too bummed and knows a lot about Cedros.
Oh, stoked. Reggie.
Woo!
Yeah.
Reggie.
Nice job, Reggie.
And that's a random pick from Kyle the fan.
Yeah, so Kyle, yeah, just for those that always are curious, so Kyle takes every phone call we have on the air, puts them in one of those random generators, and spits out. So Kyle is who actually picks our potential winner from the caller side. And then obviously our guest picks the potential winner at a random number. We just associate every text a random number, and our guest picks that. So that's the inside baseball on the winner. And congratulations to Reggie. You got yourself a brand new pair of Costa Reefdens. It's a gray frame, gray silver mirror. You're going to absolutely love those glasses. Rosie, Jeff, it's the easiest 2 hours of Let's Talk Hookup we do.
Thank you.
We love you guys. We love talking Cedro sport fishing. If somebody heard all of the great, the fishing, the tortillas, the food, the fun, the ease that you do, the permits, the taking care of every little bit of it, all the great tackle advice from Jeff, if somebody wants to participate and go on a Cedro sport fishing trip, just give us a rundown. How, when, Jeff's call, so good. Please book your spot before PCS.
And it's important, too, Rick, that she's awesome at pairing people.
The best.
Yeah.
The best there is.
If you're a single and you want to go, or a couple and want to go.
Yes, absolutely. You know, come see me at the PCS show. But like I said, a lot of these trips are going to be picked through. So please give me a call, and we can go over everything that you, all your questions, everything you need to know. And again, that phone number is 619-772-7570.
There it is. Appreciate it. Great job, Rosie, Jeff. Great job. We appreciate you listening. Hey, we got another great show coming for you tomorrow. Captain Andy Cates of the Red Rooster 3 is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking long range fishing. There is some amazing big bluefin fishing going on. If you haven't caught the long range fleet, you know, hop on the Red Rooster's website and check that out. The grade of bluefin tuna right now is unbelievable. Fly line fishing with 80 and 100 pound live sardines, catching 200 pound bluefins for our long range fleet. It's amazing what's going on right now. And we're going to have Captain Andy talking all about it. Going to be a great show. Appreciate you listening, Corey. Huge thanks. An odd show, not having any of the spots, but sure appreciate you guys listening. It's going to be a great one. We'll look forward to you talking tomorrow. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Woo.